Welcome to the Biz Dad Podcast, where we dive into the melding of fathership and entrepreneurship with your host, the original Biz Dad himself, Adam Labar. Adam is a Christian, a former Air Force officer, a dad to three amazing kids, a coach, a real estate investor, and a business owner. On this podcast, he'll explore the unique journeys of amazing dads who are striving for greatness in both business and family. So, whether you're a dad who is an aspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned business owner, or simply a man striving to be a better dad, get ready as the Biz Dad brings you conversations to inspire, challenge, and equip you to be a better dad and entrepreneur. And now, here's Adam.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Biz Dad Podcast. Today, I have Anthony Vigilante with me. I'm really looking forward to chatting with him. I'm an entrepreneur, a dad. What do you know? That's kind of what this podcast is about. So it works out really well to have you on. I'm looking forward to chatting with you. I know that in our pre-call, you know, talking about how intentional of a father you are and, you know, the enjoyment of travel, very much in line with what I'm doing and what I'm trying to go for. So I look forward to kind of getting to know you a little bit more and hopefully introducing the community to what you do and the different skills that you bring to the table and can help some folks with. So that being said, if you can, please introduce yourself, tell us about your family, and then tell us about your business side of the house.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. I really appreciate you having me on today. I'm looking forward to this. I've heard quite a few of your podcasts, and they're always fun. I even grew a beard for a few days just to see if I can kind of keep up with you. But yeah, I have a few more months to go. But
there you go.
My name is Anthony Vigilante, and I am a dad first and foremost, for sure. I've been very intentional about that, especially over the last few years. And I think that's something you learn. You know, being a dad, of course, you don't wake up one day and say, I know how to be a dad. It's something that doesn't come natural to most people. But I think it's something, like other things in our life, we need to continue to keep working on. And that's what I do. I keep trying to be a better dad tomorrow than I am today. And so that's my focus, and that's what about being intentional is all about. So I have a son. He's 13. My daughter is 16. So awesome ages, a lot of fun. From my perspective of a dad, the first couple of years are really hard. Then they know who you are, and they get a personality, and becomes super fun. And as far as I'm concerned, it's been awesome and fun from then till now. I hear that the high school years get a little crazy, so I'm a couple years into it with my daughter, and so far so good, but I keep waiting for the super craziness to start, which I'm sure it will. I'm married. My wife is Dina. We've been married for 20 years this year. And of course, that's also something that needs work, and we do it happily, and we work at it every day. So that's my family life. I have, you know, some also extended family, you know, my mom and my sister and cousins that and uncles and aunts that I really try to do my best to stay in touch with.
Awesome. All right. And tell us a bit about your business as well.
Yeah. So actually, 2023 was a big year for me, a transitional year. I was a chief technology officer, chief information security officer for a financial company for the last 24 years in Midtown Manhattan, which was great. A lot of fun, learned a lot. Very exciting to be in technology, cybersecurity, finance, for sure. But I felt it was time to make a change in my life. I've always been an entrepreneur, an investor, basically entire life, definitely at least for 20 plus years. And so I've done that in parallel, more passive, of course, because my day job was very time consuming and intensive, as you can imagine. I'd like to do more, get more involved in that, which I have been. So I decided this year to transition to focus more on real estate investing, business, and wean off of a W-2, Though I am, I continue to be involved in technology and cybersecurity and management leadership from a advisory consultant perspective. So I've been helping out small, medium-sized companies, working on their challenges and obstacles from a technology, cybersecurity, and management perspective. Because obviously management, you know, having good people, managing good people, building good, successful teams is the key to any business. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been my transition and what I've been focusing on in 2023. And continue to build that in 2024. One of the reasons why I decided to do that now is because I am, again, trying to be intentional and spend more time with my family and my kids, because I really feel that they need me now more than ever. And I want to be there for them before I get to the point where I don't want to say they don't want to be with me, because I hope that they're always going to want to be with me. And thank God I have a great relationship with them. But life gets in the way. They get busy. My daughter at 16 is already crazy busy. She has a full workload at school, high honor classes, which is insane when I look at her schoolwork. And she, you know, between sports, she works, she has friends. So trying to squeeze in some time there is challenging, but we work at it together. But soon it's going to be more difficult. That window is closing. So I see that. And with my son, he loves spending time with me. I love spending time with him. But I know that that's going to change as he gets to high school next year. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was a great time to make a transition. Now, I work just as hard now, and I'm probably going to continue to work even harder because I love to work and it's fun and I love to be busy. But now it's more on my time. You know, I wake up, I see them, say good morning, go up to my office. They're off in school. They come home. I could say hello. They're off doing their homework. I'm working. I have dinner with them. Then I could be on my computer till, you know, who knows what time, depending on what I'm working on. So I'm still working, you know, many hours and maybe even more than when I was commuting into Manhattan. But it's more, I could pick and choose when are the right times. If my son or daughter wants to go for a walk or want to do something, sure. But, you know, turn off the computer, go for a walk. So it's awesome this year that I've been able to be very intentional about it. And it's really, I really appreciate it. I'm so happy I did what I did at this time.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds, I mean, I completely am with you on that. Having left the military and being able to do this from home, I completely understand. So I want to rewind a little bit. I've got a couple questions to go through there, but I want to start a little bit and kind of rewind and learn what it was like for Anthony growing up, like what kind of family you came from, what your upbringing was like, your parents, just kind of learn a little bit more about your background.
Sure. Thank you. Start with my dad. this is like a counseling session now.
You can lay down on the couch if you'd like to.
Right. Yes, yes, I will. I have a feeling. Hey, where's my tissues? It all comes back to the mom and dad, right? Mm-hmm. Well, my dad was a great role model. All I do in my adulthood is basically do the opposite of what my dad did, and it's perfect. So it's easy. Kidding aside, he tried his best, but it wasn't easy. My parents immigrated from Italy, and they were married in Italy, came here at a young age. My dad, you know, it's the typical story, came here with nothing, moved to Newark, New Jersey, which, if any of you know, it's not the greatest city in this country still to this day. That's where they immigrated, and he started a life and struggled, you know, most of his life to make a few bucks. He from what I remember as a kid, worked in a factory his whole life, same place from when I was born till he retired. He worked at the same factory and tried his best to start it when I was little in apartments, and then saved up somehow to buy us a house. And that was basically my childhood. But not much of a dad, you know, was never there for me or my brother or my sister. But, you know, old school, you know, his role as a dad, husband, was to work and, you know, save his money. And that's what he did. Never really had a conversation with him. He would be very angry because, again, he probably had a tough life and it was very difficult. He probably was under a lot of stress, putting food on the table. So the only conversations I had with him were not good ones. So that's kind of what I remember of my dad. I played sports as a kid, and you may have heard this before. He never came to a game ever, never showed up at a practice. I just walked or drove my bike to practices and the games, and my parents never showed up. But a little bit of that's how it was back then, and a little bit that's just how he was. Yeah. So again, never threw a ball in the backyard. None of those stories that you hear. We didn't really connect at all. Not with my brother. He didn't connect with myself or my sister. So, it is what it is. That's really the story of my dad. And my mom, she always was more loving, and she tried her best. And between trying to keep him away from us from a angry perspective, fighting to, doing her best to show us love, but she was under her own stresses and trying to figure out things. So that kind of really sums it up. And my dad ended up leaving before I went into high school. And so at that point, I didn't talk to my dad for like 20 years when he left. And I didn't reconnect with him until I had my daughter. And I was like, well, I have kids now. What am I going to say to them when they ask, where's grandpa? Probably it's time for me to reconnect. So it was about 20 years. And I finally reconnected with my dad, which was nice because I got to spend time with him and reconnect with him before he passed a few years ago. And more importantly, I got to reconnect with that whole side of the family. As you can imagine, it's a typical big Italian family, but I only had my mother's side of the family all these years. So it was really, really nice to reconnect with all of my cousins, my uncles, my aunts from my father's side of the family, and which we did. And it was awesome. And it still is awesome. I still have a really solid relationship with my vigilante cousins and uncles and aunts. So I got to see my grandmother again before she passed. I got to see, obviously, my dad before he passed. And now I still go to dinner and have fun with my cousins, uncles, and aunts. So it's been awesome, but unfortunately, there were some lost times, some lost years.
Yeah. I had a similar conversation with Sergio Altamare.
Oh yeah, know him very well.
So his dad, his parents, same thing, immigrated from Italy. Very much like a very similar story, and like the connection with the dad. And I often wonder like if it's just like, the heartache you had to have seen to cause yourself to immigrate to another country, and then to start completely over in a country you don't know the language, you don't know what's going on, you don't know anything about it, you're trying to build something brand new, like the stress that would probably put on you, and the extra for the kids. I like, there's got to be something to that dynamic that makes it difficult to I don't want to just say, oh, maybe it's an Italian thing, like they just don't connect with their kids, but I would imagine like an Italian immigrant thing probably makes a little bit more sense, like immigrants as a whole. There's just a lot involved in that. And I'm wondering what, like, as you were especially reconnecting with him, what kind of thoughts did you have going through your brain? How did you kind of justify both properly and improperly what happened and, what you felt you missed out on as you were kind of reconnecting especially?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, Sergio, great guy and a great dad. So I know him very well.
Yeah.
So reconnecting was interesting. Of course, what I wanted was in my heart, probably was some sort of an apology and not, I am sorry. I mean, some sort of recognition of what we didn't have and what we went through. That's what I was hoping for. That didn't happen. We pretended, I took his lead. He pretended that nothing, it was all good, that time never went by, that we never had, that, we never talked about. I mean, there was physical abuse as well, so don't really feel like getting all into it, but, we never talked about it. I was hoping for closure there. I did not initiate it. He did initiate it. I didn't think I want him, spend the last few years with him, like, rehashing old times. So it is what it is. But we had conversations, talked, and, you know, having him connect with my kids was nice. Having him meet my wife was nice. All of those things, I think, were really important. But we did not have an opportunity to talk. If any time I did talk about the past, he, you know, I think he had 30 years, I think, to protect himself. I think he created a different timeline, or he recreated history a little bit, and that's fine. You know, I'm not looking to have this person suffer. You know, he was an older at this point, right? He was older in the last few years of his life, and, you know, I didn't need to go there. So it was nice enough that he was there, that I saw him, we reconnected. But I think more importantly is that I reconnected with other family members.
So I know that, like, there came a time for me of kind of understanding who my dad was that helped me kind of figure out the holes that I was missing. Like, and there were holes that he was missing and wasn't able to give to me, you know? So it was like a weird, you know, kind of self-reflection on you know, what my expectations were versus what reality was versus what, like, true reality was. 'Cause even, like, we could even say what we're seeing right now is reality, but until we understand some of the background, like, it's only reality in a context that we're able to put into our brain. Otherwise, it's not, you know, we have to step back even farther. So, you know, I'm curious if you've given, or if you, like, and I'm not trying to make this a therapy session. It's just, it's good to dig into these things, especially if somebody else that might be listening that can do the same thing, is, like, did you put a bunch of thought into why maybe he was doing what he was doing? Or did you put in, like, as to the story maybe he was telling himself? Almost, you were almost implying that you created already another story in that gap of when he was gone to when you met him again. So was he creating other stories before that led him to do some of the things that he did? Or how do you think that kind of went down for him?
Yeah, well, for one, I think as time went by, 20 years of me not talking to him and thinking about this, as you can imagine, over and over and over again, because I missed a piece of my childhood that I'll never get back. I learned to forgive him and realize at first I hated him, as you can imagine. Yeah. And then I had sympathy for him because I realized that he had it so rough, and his dad was, I'm sure, rough on him. And he didn't know how to be a dad. And hey, maybe neither did I, but I went out and figured it out and learned it and found real role models and read books and, you know, listened to podcasts, did the things I needed to do. Either those resources were not available to him back then, or he didn't know how to begin, you know, and maybe he thought that's how it was. Like, you know, men in the 70s and 80s were not as sensitive. I think it wasn't okay to be sensitive like we are now. Now we're sensitive to our feelings, to other people's feelings, being introspective. I think that's okay. So I forgive him for that. But I do think about why he was who he was. And yes, he was the oldest of five kids. When he was born, immediately his dad went to war, World War II, in Italy, the Italian, you know, against the U.S., of course. And he was a prisoner. His dad became a prisoner. So he never met his dad. He was born, his dad was gone. His dad was a prisoner of war for many, many years in Africa in an English prison. So finally, I think when my dad was like seven, Italy switched sides to the Allies. So the English and the Americans released all the Italian prisoners of war. And so that's when my grandfather was released. He went back home. My dad was seven, and he never connected with his dad because at that point, he came back and then had four more kids. And it was almost like those were his kids. And my dad was kind of like, who's this? He didn't even know him. And the kid's already seven, right? So his dad probably didn't I'm guessing, try to connect with my dad.
Yeah.
And just connect it with the other four, which were two boys and two girls. So I think my dad was always left out there, and being the oldest, he had to act like a dad all those years. You know, he kind of took on that role. And then as soon as he turned 17, his parents shipped him off to the U.S. to say, hey, get out of here, go start a life for us. Mm-hmm. So my dad was the first one to come to this country by himself with no money, didn't know anybody, did not speak English. All we had was a family member in Brooklyn. And the story from what I hear was he showed up on their doorstep. They're like, who the hell are you? And he had no money. He was 17. He was hungry and had just a pair of clothes he was wearing. And he's like, oh, I'm cousin, you know, Generoso. And they go, look, I can't even feed my own kids. You got to get out of here. You got to move on. So he called his parents in Italy. He says, what do I do now? So my grandmother was like, I have a second cousin in West Virginia. Go see them. So he somehow gets to West Virginia. Now, again, doesn't speak English, doesn't have money. How scared can you? I can't imagine how scared he must have been at 17. Thinking of my kids now, my daughter's 16. I can't imagine that. But anyway, he goes to West Virginia, and they're like, what the hell are you doing here? We can't. We have nothing. And West Virginia, it's difficult to live there now. Can you imagine back in the, I guess this was the 60s? They're like, all right, you're going to have to join the military because we can't feed you. So I guess once he turned 18, he joined the U.S. military. And that kind of put him on track. He learned how to speak English. He got to eat. He was able to earn a couple bucks, buy some clothes. And so, and then he was writing letters to my mom in Italy. And then that's after the military, went to Italy, married my mom, and then brought my mom back here. So, yeah, I can't imagine how rough his childhood, if I think my childhood was rough, does not compare to what he went through. So that was a realization I had through my adult years. I'm like, as I pieced the story together, I'm like, wow, you know, that explains why he didn't know how to be a dad. He had no compassion. He didn't have a heart. He was holding on to he was very frugal. He was holding on to every dollar in his pocket. Like he never spent money. Like we never had anything. Like Christmas, nothing. You know, no toy. It was like we had nothing. Like we never went out to dinner. We did go on one vacation a year to the beach down in Wildwood, New Jersey. That was our vacation every year. You know, so it. Yeah. Even when I got older and maybe had a couple of extra bucks, there was no way he was spending it because he grew up.
Yeah.
You know, he needed to hold on to every dollar he had.
Yeah, it's crazy when we look back at what our parents have gone through. And it's weird, like with almost everybody I've interviewed thus far, everybody I've talked to on this podcast has had there's been a few, but anybody who had a semi-rough childhood can look at their dads and realize they had probably an even rougher childhood. And now we are benefiting for the fact their rough childhood created us to be able to do what we're able to do. And it's an odd way of looking at it, but it's such a trend in all of my conversations with everybody I've had on the podcast. And those with good childhoods, don't get me wrong. Like they're obviously doing well themselves. That's why I'm talking to them and we're going through it, but, it's just such a fun thing to look at and say, okay, well the whole saying bad times create tough men. Tough men create good times. Good times create soft men. Soft men create bad times. You know, it's the whole circle that would go on. My goal, hopefully, is to have conversations that lead us to not be soft men, but be tough men who have the ability to be soft. You know, and I think that's hopefully what we can kind of take from this is that we want to instill that level of ethic into our kids that they are striving to continue to grow on top of this and not just enjoy the fact that they have now an easy time because they had, you know, us hanging out, giving them what they needed, and then all of a sudden great tough times. So
yeah.
All right. I really appreciate the backdrop on that. So I want to go back Actually, there's one more question I want to ask on this. You mentioned that you never, you know, when you reconnected with your dad, you didn't get any apology of what you were looking for, but you also didn't seek it. For somebody, I don't want you to kind of like reanalyze what you should or shouldn't have done, but for somebody who's listening, maybe they're in a similar situation and they're saying, hey, I'm trying to reconnect with my dad right now. Would you recommend they try to get like have those conversations, or do you think it was best to just kind of let it kind of flow out the way it did?
Yeah, I think it's situation by situation. If I reconnected with him earlier and he was younger, perhaps. Mm-hmm. When I reconnected with him, he was already, you know, up there in age. And he was not all there mentally.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'd be able to have a real conversation with him anyway. You know, he did lose it a little bit. So because of that, I never went there. I think it would have been, I don't think I would have gotten anything out of it from him. So I was happy to play the game and pretend, you know, hey, you're the dad, I'm the son, it's great. Hey, you know, hi, how are you? You know, again, I wasn't looking for really an apology. I was looking for an acknowledgement of what I went through and like, hey, man, you know, wish I could have done better. Wish, you know, we could have, I don't know, I could have showed up to a game, or I wish we could have had more of a relationship, you know, something like that, right? Just an acknowledgement of what I went through, what he put me through, what he put my brother through, what he put my mom through. My sister was younger. She went through it, but not as much because she's 13 years younger than me. So it was a little different, though it was hard on her as well because he left and she was basically, I basically was my sister's dad. So, you know, she had it rough as well. But with him, you know, I think that was it. Now, if your dad is younger when you reconnect, which I do recommend reconnecting no matter how bad it was, I think it is important for yourself and for your dad and for your other members of the family, children or whatever. But yeah, you know, maybe if he was more with it mentally, maybe I would have went there. I don't think I would have gone too aggressive. I would have kept it, but I would have said, hey, let's have a conversation. But we didn't really have any, we had conversations, but we didn't have any real conversations. Still a lot more than I had as a kid. As a kid, we had zero conversations. The last few years before he passed away, we actually talked. A lot of the things we talked about were, you know, he had some fantasies too, because he was, again, he started to lose it. So some of the things he was saying wasn't true. And I just kind of went along with it. But it was fine. I was happy to be there for him for his last years. And then he died suddenly. Actually, he wasn't sick. He just had a heart attack one day. But before that, I would make sure I connect. I would have parties at my house where I would invite him and the whole, you know, all the vigilantes over and all the cousins. And so it was nice to see everyone. And he was very happy to be part of that. So, or my kids would have events, you know, first communions and things like that. And so, you know, christenings or whatever. And so that was good to get everyone together. So we had nice, fun moments like that before he, you know, before he passed a few years ago.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and obviously everything is kind of case by case, but it's, you know, I know I've talked to multiple people who are struggling on whether or not they even want to reconnect with their dad. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that it's always worth it in the long run. Don't have expectations out of it, right? Like, don't run in there, you know, because it's similar to, you know, the gap at the gain, right? If you look in there looking for perfection out of this conversation, you're never going to get it. So just go in there open-minded and, you know, be ready to just let go of whatever's happening, you know, go in there with the emotional intelligence, and, you know, move forward. What were you about to say?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that don't have any expectations. Don't put them on yourself. Don't put them on your dad. Don't bring baggage to it. Just go there, and what happens, happens. It's your dad. You have one dad, or if it's your mom, whatever the situation is, and try to have an open heart, an open mind. Don't go in closed. wait till you can do that, because some people probably had it even worse than I did. I'm sure many people, and your heart's closed for many years like mine was. But once your heart opens up, then it's time. Don't go in with your closed heart, because it's just going to make it worse. Yeah. But I do think it's important for us to have that closure, because when they pass, or you could pass, someone's going to pass, you're going to regret it. And you're going to be like, you know, maybe I was a little too rough. No matter what happened, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to the universe, you owe it to your kids or whoever, and you'd be surprised who else it affects. Like for me, I didn't imagine that it was going to affect all these other relationships, like my cousins, uncles, and aunts. I'm so thankful that they're back in my life, but I didn't really think about that going into it. But it's a beautiful thing. It's your family. Just today, I got a text from my cousin. Hey, we got to get together for dinner. You know, so it's great. You know, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's our family. It's all at the end of the day, that's the most important thing is our family and our friends.
Yeah, I agree. Like putting them, I mean, I've got cousins that I haven't talked to in years, you know, and it's one of those, I've got hundreds of cousins, so it makes it difficult to keep in touch with all of them. But man, at least once in a while getting together for a family reunion or something, you know, you've got to keep that connection going. But I want to kind of pivot over a tiny bit. From your experience growing up, you know, partly with a dad and mostly without, like, what do you take to your role as being a dad? I know you said at the beginning, like, it was easy. I just do everything the opposite that my dad did, right? But obviously, you know, that's tongue in cheek. So, like, what does it look like for you as a dad where you're going, you know, because sometimes we're running away from something. I never want to do the things, you know, and you've already alluded to that, never want to do the things that he did. So I'm going to run away from all of that. Sometimes we're running towards something. Do you feel like the things that you do as a dad now are more just trying to do the opposite of what that was? Or I know the answer to this is probably not, because you talk about your intentionality as a dad. But how did you kind of figure out, or are you still figuring out, what I'm running away from that I feel like, you know, was terrible that I had, versus what am I running towards to make sure I'm being the intentional father I want to be? I hope that's a clear enough way of summing it up.
Yeah. So you go to the hospital and you walk out of a hospital with this thing, right? And you're like, what the hell? What is this? And they're really going to let us leave with this thing? Like, we don't know what the hell we're doing, right? So that's where you start, right? I think we all start there, right? Like, seriously? Like, no manual, nothing? You're just going to kick me out of this hospital? Like, so you start there, and of course you figure it out. And your kids need you in different ways in different stages, right? And now I'm getting to the final stages of their childhood. So I've kind of been through a lot of many different stages. And they need something different from a mom and a dad. So I think in the beginning, from a dad, you know, besides waking up and, you know, helping, you know, taking shifts and feeding and changing diapers, besides the obvious, which, by the way, I was a natural changing diapers, because again, I basically was a dad to my sister who was 13 years younger than me. So I was the one changing her diapers when she was born and babysitting her while my mom worked. And summers, I'd spend the whole summer of age 13 and 14 at my house babysitting my sister, and weekends and all that. So I was trained. So when my daughter was born, I'm like, perfect, daughter, you know, I got experience here. So, you know, that's all you really need, you know, the necessities. But then as time goes on as a dad, it's like they just need you there. They really need their mom more or differently, for sure. But for me, it was just being there. And when they wanted to play with me, when they wanted to do things, right? So that was easy. I'll just be there and had fun with them, right? Be silly, right? So whenever in the younger years, I was being silly, put the music on, dance, you know, play, you know, whatever, Legos or whatever they wanted to do, even though it was boring, you know, could be really boring at times, or you knew you had something else to do, that you were so busy, but, you know, just sitting there on the ground and playing with dolls or whatever. So I think it's kind of easy. Just do whatever they want to do, right? And that's what I did. So we read a book, you know, before they were born. It was the What Do You Expect When They're Expecting? And then the next book was you know, the next there was another stage of that. So my wife and I read some books. But that was easy. I think when they get older and different stages, they need you more. And I think that's when you want to make sure that you're being intentional and being there the right way, showing up how they need you to show up. And that's mm-hmm. when I definitely started reading more books. I think it was easier for me to be there for my son because it was like, all I had to do from the day he was born till now to today is find a ball. I don't care what kind of ball it is, football, mm-hmm. baseball, basketball, just some cushion ball, a ball that we made out of a piece of paper, and throw it to him. Okay. And he's happy. You know, to this day at 13, that's all I do. Mm-hmm. It's easy. We go in a yard, we go in a house, and we throw a ball. That's it. My daughter, when she was younger, it was easy. You know, she had toys that she went to play with. But then it gets challenging. I read a book called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, which I would recommend, you know, for a dad trying to connect with a daughter. And I think it's appropriate at any age. And it kind of helps you understand how your daughters need you. That was helpful. And, you know, things like that, reading books, listening to podcasts, I'm part of a mastermind group called GoBundance, which I know you're aware of. And one of the best things about GoBundance is that, or any mastermind group like that, is that it's not about money, even though we talk about money and investing. It's about being a better person, being a better man, and all these different things, family and health and spirituality and all these things. But being a dad is a big piece of it. So we help each other about, hey, this is what I did, or this is what I expected. Oh, here's a pitfall, or here's an obstacle I'm going through. And we help each other out about being a dad. So that really helped me a lot over the last few years, especially during the years where I think now, you know, preteen and teenage years where your kids really need you, especially mm-hmm. dads. And I think that's really where I jumped in and became more in their face. And fortunate for me, you know, COVID happened, COVID being a terrible thing, because obviously a lot of people got sick and passed away, which was super sad. But there was also some good things that came out of it. You know, in 2020, you know, that's 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, right, when that happened, mm-hmm. My kids were at that age where they really, really needed me. And I was stuck in that trap of working in Manhattan, you know, long hours, you know, I leave early in the morning, come home late at night. When they were very, very young, there was times where my wife was just keeping them up long enough for me to tuck them in and say goodnight.
Yeah.
I never had dinner with them during a week. I only had dinner with them on a weekend. So it wasn't good. Fortunately, I think those early years, they needed me differently. Mm-hmm. But when COVID happened, it was a real slap on the side of the head. Like, whoa, you know, this is all happening and they need me and they want me there. Mm-hmm. And thank God it happened when it happened, because it made me realize how important it was. And it was awesome. I got to spend, though I was working and busy on my computer, working from home, and they were schooling from home, I got to see them and be with them and have fun with them. And that was amazing. And one thing it taught me was I don't ever want to go back to what I was doing before. I don't mind working 13, 14 hours a day if I need to, but being away from home 14, 13 hours a day is not cool. And there's only a few years left. So I said, I am not doing that again, which was part of the reason why I left my W-2 in this year.
Yeah.
But I had that, you know, 2020, 2021, 22, of being able to work from home, seeing them come home from school, having dinner with them, helping them with their homework, really playing with them. And it was awesome, those critical years for my son and critical years for my daughter. We were always close, but it definitely brought us closer. And I will do everything in my power from this point until, I guess, they go to college. If they go away, and of course things will be different, so I have a very small window left. I'm going to do everything in my power to keep this relationship, and not because I have to, not because it's a job, because I love it, and it's awesome. It's so special to me and wonderful to me, kind of selfish I'm getting more out of it than them, I think. I love it. Spending time with my daughter, spending time with my son. There's nothing I'd rather do than that. But number two, they need me. And I know they need me. And I can see it. When my daughter says something, I see her look at me in a corner of her eye. She's 16. She's going to be cool. And she's going to pretend that she doesn't care. But she 100% cares what I think, what my wife thinks. And I love it. Yeah. I love when she looks at me when she's saying something to see my reaction. And I've learned not to make a reaction, to have a subtle reaction or to have a calm, I try not to be angry with my children. I'm very rare that I am angry unless they need it. That's part of being intentional, being there for them. And with my daughter being 16, it's interesting because being there doesn't mean being in their face and, hey, what do you want to do? Let's go. Yeah. It's just being there. And now I have to wait for her to come to me. Hey, Dad, what's up? And she starts talking to me. I'm like, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's watch. Want to watch a show, a TV show? Let's whatever. Hey, want to go grab something to eat? But I wait for her to, you know, when that window opens at 16 at high school, that window, because it's usually she's busy with her work. She's with her friends. She's talking on her phone. I get it. That's cool. I was 16. Not that long ago in my mind.
In our minds. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But when she's like, she comes down in the kitchen, just sits there and looks at me. I'm like, oh, here we go. Game time. Yep. Let's go. And then I talk to her and whatever. So it's so cool. And also, I try to get something on the calendar with her because it's not easy. So I'm like, hey, why don't we do this time? I try to get something on there. Like last year, I took her skiing in Vermont. We went for the weekend, and I'm going to try to do the same thing this weekend. Get something on the calendar. Summer's a little easier. We go to the beach and we have fun. But winters, it's challenging because they're busy with school and other things. But again, my son, it's a little easier because he's a boy and I was a boy. I know what's fun for him. And so though it's easy for us to just do things and watch football and throw the ball in the backyard, one thing I've been doing, again, being intentional and trying to do things while I can, one of the things I've been doing is taking him to football games. So we're Jeff fans, unfortunately. Sorry, I made him a Jeff fan. I know I that was the one mistake I made. We're not perfect and we make mistakes and that's one mistake. So he's more of a diehard than I am now at this point. So we go to at least one home game, but I also take him to one away game. It's become our new tradition. This is our third year we've done it. So that's become an awesome weekend for us to get away, just the two of us. It's on him. He says, mom and sis are not invited. I'm not the one who said it. He says it. So I'm like, hey, whatever he wants, it's his getaway. And it's been amazing to go away with him for the weekend at a hotel and go to dinner and explore cities and go to a game. And it's just our tradition. And I hope that we keep that tradition forever. But that's what being intentional is about, is just do something, whatever it is, have a connection, throw it on the calendar and keep it up. It's so easy to be like, we're going to do something. We're going to do something. And then it never happens. Yeah. And then you regret it. So again, number one, I'm doing it because I love it. It's selfish to me that I'm spending time with my kids. It's my favorite thing to do.
You have to go to football games. You know? Right.
Exactly. And number two, it's good. It's friggin' good for them. It's good for them to spend time with me. And, I'm not perfect, but they seem to like hanging out with me. And I'll take it while I can, for sure, until it's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. So I know you mentioned that right now is the time that really connecting with them is much more important. You realized, obviously, in 2020 when that all started. Do you wish that you would have maybe started earlier, jumping from the W-2? Or was it like a good transition point for it? What are your, looking back on it, would have there been a better strategic way to do it? Or do you like kind of how it all worked out?
Yeah, I think a few years earlier would have been even better. But I was stuck in that mentality that I think a lot of dads are, was I'm working hard, I'm making money, I'm doing it for the family. Right. Yep. And, you know, the other side of that coin is, well, your family just kind of wants you around and wants to hang out with you. Right. So I don't know what the right answer is, because it is important to build a future for them and for yourself and, you know, have a home and do all these things. And we were going on vacations. We always, you know, I always knew it was important to go away. And we always went on multiple vacations together as a family, multiple times a year. And we still do that. So we always did that. And I always had weekends where I really spent a lot of time with the kids. But yeah, we lost a lot of time during the week. One thing I did do through the years, even though I was busy, is somehow I found a way to coach my son's sports. So I'm thankful for that. Though I was busy and sometimes it was tough getting out of the city during practice during the week, the weekends were easier, but during the week it was a little crazy. And for the first few years, I would always sign as an assistant coach, because I knew during the week it was difficult for me to commit. But anything that was weekend, I was the guy. I would always say to the other coach, either we were dual head coaches or I was assistant, I would say, hey, look, during the week, I'll try my best, but on the weekends, I'm there. If you don't even want to show up, don't worry about it. I got it. I'm there Saturdays and Sundays. Don't worry. So I always coached since kindergarten, you know, all the way through with my son. You know, I coached football. I coached baseball. I coached basketball. And I'm still coaching basketball. He's in eighth grade, so it's his last year of middle school. So this is my last year of coaching, because obviously high school is a whole, you know, it's professional coaches, not volunteers. So I'm our basketball season starts right now. So I'm looking forward to our last year of coaching. And I also coach my daughter, but see, my daughter was swim, and I was, you know, they have professional coaches there.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to coach my daughter, but her last year of middle school, which is eighth grade, she decided to try basketball for the first time. And I immediately jumped in. The head coach was a good buddy of mine. I'm like, can I be your assistant? He goes, absolutely. So the one time my daughter did play a sport, eighth grade, I jumped in and coached her. So nice. That was so much fun. She loved it. I loved it. A lot of fun. But she's on the swim team. So again, it's not like I can, I never swam. And plus those coaches are paid coaches.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think that even if for those listening, especially, even if you are staying in the W-2, you're not having the flexibility in the schedule, you've got to find some time in there to be a dad. You know, I always tell people, you know, and I've said it a few times on the podcast, like I see military folks all the time, constantly in divorces and never being around. And we would deploy all the time or this, that, or the other thing. It's like, you are going to affect your children one way or the other, whether it's in the house or out of the house. Yeah. So you might as well do what you can to affect them inside the house. So, you know, like figure out a way to be involved, figure out a way, whether it's coaching, whether it's, you know, taking an extra day off, taking a vacation, just one-on-one with each of your kids, it's something you gotta be involved. You know, and to me, there's I'm one of these days, I'm going to remember the actual quote for this study. But there was a study that kind of looked at, and this is in by no means to take away from moms, so I hope nobody hears it that way. But they looked at a study of households that had a mom and a dad that were present, and then the outcome of the kids, and then a study of just the moms and a study of just dads. And in the studies of the dads alone and the moms and dads, they were almost exactly the same on how the kids turned out. But if it was just a mom without that father figure there, the kids ended up much more likely to be in jail, much more likely to not pass high school, all the stuff. And I think that just it goes to what you were talking about before. Like, moms and dads are different. I don't care what society says in 2023, 2024. Moms and dads are different, and they have different roles in the family. And the ideal is to have a mom and a dad present who are married and love each other raising kids. So, you know, make that priority is, you know, be there with your spouse, have an agreement with your spouse. And another thing that you said that I wanted to jump on was, you know, having that mentality of going to work and doing all this stuff, your kids also need to see that you work.
Yeah.
Right. And like what it takes to support a family, because supporting a family isn't, you know, and I was talking to my business partners about it. Like I want to make the best decisions I can for my kids to be more present, to be more involved, and to make the best decisions for that. And that doesn't mean, you know, that I'm home 100% of the time, all the time, to be with my kids. That's not the best decision. The best decision is still for them to see me work, see me go out and make make money, see me go out and you know, be a leader in my business. So you have to still balance all of that stuff. So now that you're in this phase, how do you see the balance changing from going from, you know, W-2 and I'm seeing you work in that sense to now, you know, kind of running your own consulting firm, kind of, you know, doing that sort of stuff? Like, how do you see the relationship changing in your conversations with them about work and business and life now that you've transitioned into a different part of your adult life?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So now I'm mostly working, from my home office. Mm-hmm. And they know I'm busy because I am always up there on my computer. And, you know, they know some of the real estate stuff I do, the IT stuff. They hear my conversation. So they have an mm-hmm. idea, of what I do. But I think there's ways of teaching them work ethic, even when you're mm-hmm. home. So for instance, my son will come home from school and be like, "Hey dad, you want to play Xbox?" And I'm like, "Nope, I don't play Xbox during the day. I'm working. Tonight after dinner, I'll play with you, or this weekend I'll play with you. And actually, why don't you do your homework now so that you could get that out of your way?"
Yeah.
And because he wants to play Xbox to the last possible minute, then squeeze his homework in at the end, right?
Yeah, of course.
My daughter is much more disciplined, but maybe it's an age thing. I not
boys and girls are different. Wait.
Yeah.
No way.
Can you believe it?
Continue.
Yeah.
Shocking revelation.
It's funny, as a parent, it becomes obvious as soon as they're born that they're different, but you know.
Yes.
But we're not allowed to say that.
No, not anymore. Canceled. Right. We're both canceled.
That's it. unplug it. So there's little lessons like that. And so now he knows. He won't ask me when he comes. He won't ask me to play Xbox or play whatever because I'm busy. I won't do it, or watch TV or whatever. So I'm very disciplined, and you need to be working from home where I'm working all day, every day, except I'll take a break when he come home from school. That's when I make myself my espresso. And I'll say hello to them. How was your day? And then my 15-minute break is over and I go back upstairs. Then I come back down for dinner. So they see my discipline and structure, even working from home. And it's consistent. It's every day, every day. Sometimes I still go into the city, meet clients, meet people, whatever. I'm on phone calls. And sometimes even I'm on a call at night. So it's not just during the day. Sometimes after dinner, I have to jump on a call, obviously. So I think that's one way to show them that. But there's many, many ways, right? Even just talking, having conversations. Every once in a while, I try to show them something about technology or something that I'm doing for a client or a project or investing. Hey, look, are you interested? I just sold a house. You know, I just bought something, fixed it up, sold it. You want to see how that, you know, went down? Look, this is how much I bought it for. You know, I rented it. This is my rents. This is how much I sold it for. Look, I made a couple bucks. So super high level, I'll show them that. It's fun for them. If I'm on a podcast, hey, you guys want to listen? They'll listen to it a little bit. They may not listen to the whole thing, but
they better listen to this whole thing.
That's right.
Just saying, and they better both listen to it separately at different times. Yep. Watch it multiple times.
This one they'll watch for sure, no doubt. This is this will pull them.
That makes me feel good. Thank you. Yeah. Keep saying that. Yes.
So I do think, even though we may have a unorthodox way of working, like a lot of entrepreneurs do, there's still ways to show them how to do it and how hard it is, right? It's not easy. Nothing's easy, right? And here's your op. And it's actually, I think it's good for them to see both. That was my W-2 life. You know, this is my entrepreneur life. And look how it's different. There's pros and cons in both. You want to talk about it? I'm happy to sit down and talk to you. And guess what? I'll be able to do that for them when they're in college or after college to say, hey, it's not all, you know, wine and roses. You know, here's the good and bad about both. I mean, there's definitely pros and cons in both worlds. And look, I may have a W-2 again. I mean, you never know. Who knows what opportunity comes across my plate next year or 2 years from now. So you kind of have to go with the flow and go with the opportunities that come to you and that are interesting, that you can learn and grow. and it's all about you growing as a professional. So those are lessons learned for them. Hey, I'm learning those lessons right now, you know? Yeah. So as I'm learning them, I can teach them to them in real time. And I think it's good for them to go into the world with an open mind. I don't know what's going to be best for them. I don't know if they're what they're going to do, what they want to do, and I don't care. It's up to them. You know, I'll encourage them to be smart and do well in school right now, and then they could decide to do whatever they want to do. But at least they have me as an example of someone who hopefully, fortunately, they see as successful, you know, in my years at my W-2 and hopefully successful now. You know, I was in my hybrid and, you know, and now in this stage. So it's learning lessons. And hey, there's pitfalls too. There's mistakes that I'm going to make and have made. And they need to know that too. And I'm happy to share that. And I hope that when they're ready for it, I can teach them all those experiences. But absolutely, it's important for them to see, you know, proper work ethic, determination, perseverance, you know, all of these things that are important, integrity. You know, I teach them, you know, try to be honest with yourself, be honest with your family, your friends. These are things that are important in life, important in relationships, and important in business. So I think every day is there's a teaching moment in everything we do.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. One thing I've been struggling with recently is that the boys talk about how much daddy works, right? My kids are younger, right? They're 9 and 5 and 8 months old. So, you know, the 8 month old doesn't say much of anything. It says dad, though. Yes, score. Yes. She said dad before she said mama.
Yeah, but you'll never remind your wife about that ever again.
No.
It happens
of my kids said that, said dad first. And, you know, she was really hoping the daughter would at least say mama first, but nope, it was dad.
Because so, it's easier to say dad. That's what I was told.
That's what everybody says. And that's what I told her too. Just what they see. We'll go with it. But hopefully, Raquel, you're not listening to this particular podcast. But
edit that out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they talk about how much I work, and I'm, you know, I think that the reason A is they're a little older now, so they could see a little bit more. But they also, I'm here so they could see it. It doesn't click that mom works a lot because mom leaves the house to go work. Yeah. I stay here and they get to look at me through a glass door and say, oh, dad's on another call. Dad's still working. Dad can't come out and play. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to chat with them about that. So I'd love to hear, you know, obviously my kids, like I said, are younger. So if you could look back at when your kids were a little bit younger and how would you have that conversation with them to show them, hey, like, yes, daddy does work a lot, but, you know, like I've tried to relay, like, hey, you've seen me take you to, you know, Busch Gardens in the middle of the week. Like, that's not something I would have ever been able to do when I was in the military. I take you to Busch Gardens in the middle of the week. Sure, I send an email or two, get on a phone call while we're out there, but we're at Busch Gardens and you're on a roller coaster right now on a Wednesday, you know? Yeah. So, you know, how would you go about navigating a conversation like that with the kids?
Well, first, I want to say, and this is something that I'm sure you've heard before, but your kids learn mostly from your actions, right? Number one. And then number two, from your words, right?
Yeah.
So just what you just mentioned, you're sitting behind the glass wall and they see you working. That is super impactful. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're teaching them something just by being ourselves. So number one, that's probably 80% of it. Number two, you know, again, with those quick things like, hey, dad, let's go, you know, screw off and, you know, play a game. Nope. You know me. And now whenever he's testing me now when he does it because he knows I won't. And I'm like, you know, I don't play video games during the day. Like, that's my reminder. And I think that reinforces that. Mm-hmm. So that's without saying it, you're saying this is the right way to do things. You want to be successful like dad, or you want to be more successful than dad. This is how you do it. And then there's conversations that you're having around schoolwork because that is their work right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, why don't you do it and knock it out now so that we can have fun later? I always say that. I'm always like, hey, he's like, oh, I got time. It's only going to take me a half hour. I'll do it later. So for him, it means he'll do it from 9:30 to 10 o'clock before bedtime, right? And I'm like, well, wouldn't it be better to do it now and get it out of the way? you know, you're fresh, you know, you're going to give it 110%, you're not rushing it. And then we're going to be able to be relaxed and have fun and enjoy, watch a game, you know, watch the Knick game or watch a movie or play a game, whatever. That's more fun, you know. So again, I think those are teaching moments, because what I've learned now, I don't know if it's my son or it's a boy thing, but when I try to tell him something, he's not listening. Right?
Yeah.
He glosses over, blah, blah, blah. There goes dad, right? So that is not the way to do it. Maybe there's a little opportunities here and there when they're open to it and they want, and they're asking you a question, but a 13-year-old boy, you know, that's rare. He's, you know, every once in a while we're driving or going for a walk. By the way, a secret hack is taking your, you know, when your kid's a little older, because now you're at a stage where it's easier. But when you have teenagers, go for a walk. Just go for a walk. That's something I learned during COVID, and I've kept it up. Just, hey, let's go for a walk. And because my 13-year-old son does not open it, he's the kid who comes home from school. How was your day? Good. What happened? Nothing. Did you learn anything? Yeah. Like zero.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, hey, you want to go for a walk? And then we're walking and my mouth is shut. And then he just starts talking. And the key is don't interrupt him. And all of a sudden he's talking. I'm like, oh my God, he's talking. Just walk around the block. So that is, if I can give anyone a recommendation, especially for a tween or teen who is closed, just go for a walk and just don't, maybe you could plant a few seeds, but once they start opening up, just don't interrupt them. Don't get mad at what they say. Don't be, don't judge what they say. Don't give your opinion. Hold your tongue and just let them go. Let them know you're listening and say, oh yeah, oh, that's not, you know, whatever, but let them go. So that's for sure one thing. But so that's an opportunity for you that sometimes during our walks we'll ask a question about work, and that's, now he's listening. We're talking. He's listening. We're having fun. I'm not lecturing him. I didn't sit him down, right? that's my opportunities. With my daughter, it's the same thing. Now that she's older, she's definitely more talkative. She'll come home and she'll be like, in 10 minutes, I'll know everything that happened in every period, every teacher, every friend, every emotion, every whatever, when she stopped to have a drink of water, which is awesome. But even going for a walk with her, I get even deeper with whatever is going on. So that's also two different personalities. And again, I don't know if that's a boy-girl thing or that just happens to be my situation, but some kids are more open and some are closed. And so you have to be find out what opens them up. But those are the opportunities we can go in and find a teaching moment. But I would definitely avoid saying, hey, especially being stern and angry and yelling, because now you're angry that they just did something. I don't know, didn't do well in the test, or you just found out they didn't do their homework, or you just found out, oh, by the way, I have a test tomorrow, and I told you at 10 o'clock at night, things like that. Forget it. It's you lost them, right? So don't do that. That's not the right time to teach them anything.
Yeah.
It has to be light. It has to be fun. Going to one-on-one dinners is another thing. I take my son and my daughter. Again, everything's trickier with my daughter because she's 16, but that's fine. But having a dinner, sitting down, relaxed, just the two of you, not the mom, no one else, that's when you have conversations just pop up. And then my daughter or my son will ask a question. I'm like, wow, that's so awesome that they asked me that. Like, that's cool. You know, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then, but again, the only way to get your point across, or the only way to help, is to not judge. Please do not judge them, because they get that enough, right, from us. But accidentally, we're judging them, their teachers, their friends, everybody, the world. So just try. That's the hardest thing, to just sit there and listen and, oh, okay, yeah. Well, or you could do it this way. You know, I had success doing this way. You know, try it, you know, like trying to be more, you know, nice, friendly, open, easy conversation. So anyway, I hope I answered your question, but that's kind of how I try to, it's almost like you're sneaking it in without them even knowing it, kind of thing.
And, you know, I've noticed, especially recently, I started homeschooling this year, but I've adjusted how I do his assignments based off of what he's interested in as opposed to what the book says to do. You know, because I think he's going to learn a ton more by researching something he's interested in, not something I'm told, you know, that he has to absolutely do. So now when he starts asking me questions, it's time to answer them and sit down and let him dig into it. Let me teach you how to research these things. I mean, let's look through them, you know, and have good conversations about, you know, I just thought about this as I'm saying it out loud. He's got to write a letter to somebody. Like every week he writes a letter to somebody for homeschool, literally a physical letter. And then we mail it out, you know, grandma and grandpa were last week. And so it's fun that we get to kind of do that. Nobody really writes letters anymore. So now my parents have it up on their refrigerator and everything. So
I'm sure they love that too. Your parents receive a letter from their grandson.
Yep. Absolutely. It's so much fun. He's super interested in Legos now all of a sudden. And now I've been pondering how I want to include Legos into the homeschool. And I just thought of a way. So yes, score.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it down before I forget. But, you know, the more that he learns how to learn, the better off I think we are, because the more I teach them and just how to learn, not what to learn, he's going to figure out what he wants to learn. Like you said, I don't care what they do in the future. As long as they know how to learn and they know what they want to, how to go chase things, then go for it. You know, let's enjoy the time in between. But, so now that you are again working from home, how much exposure to your business do you want to give them? You said that there's, you know, they see you doing some work, they see you doing some different things. You know, how much exposure do you want to give them to entrepreneurship versus, you know, just their normal school they're going through? Have you given much thought into that?
Yeah, and I know that especially being in a mastermind group where the majority of the folks are entrepreneurs, and some are, you know, being a little more, you know, wanting their children to be entrepreneurs and not take on a job or W-2. You know, I think I take a little bit of a different approach, I think, than most entrepreneurs. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if they decide to get a job, go to college, get a job, or they decide to be an entrepreneur or real estate or business or whatever. I really don't care. I want them to be happy. I want them to do what they're passionate about, what they enjoy, what's fun. It's hard enough working hard, but to do something that you don't love and work hard, it's hard. So I'd rather them find themselves, make their own decision, and it doesn't have to happen now. It's going to happen organically, and they'll go to college, and when they come out of college, they can figure out what they want to do. So I'm not going to persuade them either way. I am going to expose them to both worlds. I'll do it on my own. And also if they ask, I'll talk about, you know, my corporate life, and I'll talk about my entrepreneur life and what I've done and what I do. And when they start asking more questions about one or the other, I'm happy to answer them. But I'm definitely not going to sway them in one direction or the other. I think you can be successful in either of those worlds. And some people are super happy in the corporate world or at a W-2, and some people are super happy and successful as entrepreneurs, and vice versa, right? Some people are miserable in either or. So, you know, knowing them at this point, I think they'd be really good at either. I don't look at them and say, oh, they would be a terrible entrepreneur or they would be a terrible W-2. I think that they would be successful at either one of them. Thank God they're smart kids, and they care, and they're both trying their hardest in school. So I can see them, they both want good jobs. They definitely want to be successful. You can see they have a drive because they're asking those questions. So yeah, I'm just happy to watch that journey and be there for them when they need me. And I am not encouraging. And quite frankly, I really don't care. Now, my wife, she's definitely more conservative and definitely wants them to have a W-2, wants them to go to college and get a job, and wants me to have a job too. She reminds me every day, go get a job, you know, because apparently I'm not working, I guess.
You're just sitting here having a conversation with Adam. You're definitely not working today.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, and that's great. You know, I'm no problem with that. I get it. I get that. So, you know, I'm just going to be there for them for when those questions arise. And they're already starting, and they're going to be more and more as, you know, they get older. The only thing I tell my daughter is, thank God she's doing well. Thank you for working hard. Great job. Continue to hard work so that you can go to any college you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you choose whatever college you want, you don't want to have to, I have to go to this college. You have no other option.
Yeah.
That's what I say to her. I'm like, get good grades so that you can choose where you want to go, what state, what college. And then at that point, you decide what you want to do. Whatever it is totally fine. So that's kind of been my conversation with her. I think my son hears that. He doesn't really need that conversation yet. I kind of have that conversation light with him. But with her, it's obviously because she has to start picking school soon. She's going into her junior year next year. I've been just sitting back and here for them when they need me. That's kind of been my approach.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's my goal, you know, has been, in the way I kind of talk about it, is my kids are my little businesses, right? To keep it in and on, like my job is to be the CEO, kind of run the company. And as somebody who's been in large companies and who's running companies, I know that not every person is an entrepreneur. Like, not everybody has that thought process. Not everybody has that mindset. So, I mean, my goal is not to create little entrepreneurs, but rather to create, you know, functional businesses that can go out and do what they need to do to run their life, right? So, if I can just become a board of advisors later on, they turn 18, they just reach out to me as an advisor, you know, but they're running their own life, their own, you know, now they're the manager of their own business, they're the CEO of it, and I no longer am. You know, it doesn't matter to me where they go, what they do. I mean, there's some things that I would really like for them, right? I want them to be successful. I want them to drive forward on something that they love and they're passionate about, not be forced into one thing or another. And I think that's probably a much more important route to take. You know, I went into a route that I thought that I loved, the military side of the house. And I did for a while, don't get me wrong. But I didn't know any different. So of course I loved it. Like, this was the option. This is what you do. This is what Labars do. And I just want to open up the aperture a lot more for my kids to see, you know, what the opportunities are that are out there. So, I love your thought process on that. Now, I have a slightly different thought process on college right now, especially as I'm seeing what's going on in college campuses. I'm like, I don't know if I want my kids going near college at this point, but, you know, it's a tough one.
I didn't, you know, quite frankly, I may have an opinion, but I am trying my hardest not to sway them.
Yeah.
You know, things have changed a lot in the last 15, 20 years. And I still think it's important for them to do what's best for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, you know, it's so hard for us as dads to think we know what's best for them. But I want to try to remind myself that I don't know, you know, yes, I know the big things. I know that, you know, don't do something stupid, you know, don't do anything illegal, you know, stuff like that. Obviously the teaching moments, but what's specifically right for them, you know, I don't know, you know, and you don't want to set them up for failure either. Like, you don't want to push them into something because you're good at it and you're successful at it and it's a obvious and no-brainer for you, and then you push them and they have different personalities than you and it may not work out, right? So that's why I want to be careful and I don't want to have any bias. So I'm going in with the approach where I don't care what they do, though. Yeah, I do kind of have a little bit of a bias, but I'm going to try not to show it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I was chatting with one of my friends, really good buddy of mine. He's an FBI agent, which I harass him about at this point, considering some other things. But but you know, his kid went to an Ivy League school, and I was like, what in the world? Like, how did that kind of go? And he's like, honestly, he came out even stronger believing what, you know, in the freedoms that we have and everything than he went in. He's, you know, and I think it has a lot to do with the involvement that we have as dads beforehand. Like, what kind of structure have we already set in place? What kind of guidelines have we set in place? What kind of understanding of the world and society have we already given them, so that maybe they're they have a little bit more of a fortified base before they go in and have just such a malleable brain that they can just be taught and told anything, where they can go in and actually have a freedom of thought and be able to actually, you know, have a conversation about their beliefs in something as opposed to just being told what to believe in something. And I know I'm kind of generalizing as far as what college does, but it seems that they're forcing a lot of ideas today as opposed to just teaching people and letting them let it be a diversity of thought inside of this classroom, and it turns into a let me tell you how to think.
Yeah, and I would add to that, and that's definitely what's happening for sure. I mean, it's crazy, you know, what we hear and what we read, but also I think we underestimate our children for two reasons. Number one, we read these articles that scared of us, right? And we're seeing what we're seeing on the news. But I'm not sure if it's 100% true. I think our kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for. To your point, we raise them what's right and what's wrong. We raise them to think for themselves, to investigate, you know, to not just, you know, believe everything you see or read or whatever. And then when they're hearing this crap that they may not believe in, hopefully they're listening to it. That's fine. I think you need to have an open mind and listen to all sides of the arguments.
Of course.
But I think they're going to come out of it and know what's right and wrong. But you're right. We're scared that, oh my God, they're going to brainwash the kids and they're going to do this and do that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Is that happening? I think some kids who maybe don't have the benefit of having the foundational parents, and maybe some kids who just want to believe whatever or want someone to think for them, and maybe they're being swayed. But I'm hoping that my kids will be different and will continue to think on their own and know the true values that are important and morals that are important in life, because that's what these kids are forgetting, right? They're forgetting what's important in life. And as long as I teach my kids, this is what's important, be moral, you know, treat other people the way you want to be treated, all of the basic stuff that we know is right and we know is wrong, I hope that will stay with them and that they won't get, you know, brainwashed from some crazy radical way of thinking. Yeah. But yeah, it is scary. I mean, look, I'm reading those same headlines that you're reading, and I'm about to see it, you know, up close and personal in a couple of years. Yeah. And I hope it's not as bad as we think it is. And maybe it's where you go. Maybe certain schools are worse than others, and maybe I need to be a little intentional about what school my daughter goes to. But we'll check.
Definitely seems that some schools are worse than others. Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. We'll have to do, you know, a 2.0 conversation on this and see how it goes. But you know, I think that establishing a good base for them from the start is where it really needs to be. Because to go back to that other conversation the success of children, how it turns out when there's an involved father in there, it makes a huge difference. And you know, we have Adam's personal opinion that upsets a lot of people is we have an issue a fatherhood issue in this country and a manhood issue in this country, because and even honestly a woman issue in this country. Like, we've gotten rid of the need for both a man and a woman, and it's a dad and a mom, and it makes no sense to me how you can get rid of both of those at the same time. It boggles my mind, but we have. So I think it's more important than ever to make sure that we are involved fathers, that we are very supportive of our spouses, that we have a solid relationship with them to represent what it is to be a good, you know, mother and father, husband and wife team. I can't imagine a better time than now actually 20 years ago would have been a better time so that we didn't end up here. But we've got to have some representation in this and open our mouths and say, no, like, this is extremely important to have. And who cares if somebody disagrees with you? Have the conversation. Yeah. Have the conversation. So,
yeah, you know, and the book I had mentioned earlier called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, that's what it touches on. It touches on we're being told not to be, you know, like, hey, dad, back down, chill out. You know, don't be a man, don't be a dad, you know, you know, Heisman push to dad and manlihood. The book is like, Don't listen to that noise. Your daughter needs you as a dad, as a man. And she's looking to you for guidance. And if you don't provide that guidance, she may stray the wrong way, you know? Yeah. So that is needed. And she needs that as a daughter. So don't let pop culture lead you to believe that it's okay for her to watch this. So what, that they're, you know, having basically sex in the show, and I don't mean pornography, I mean basically shows on TV and Netflix, you know, how sexualized they are and all these things going on, and, you know, teaching, you know, TikTok or whatever, teaching daughters that it's okay to dress provocatively and show, basically we've gone backwards, right? Like now women need to show off, you know, their bodies to get attention. I'm like, didn't we just get away from that? I thought we were respecting women for their brains and personalities and who they are. Well, how do we get back to now? It's all about your body and dancing around. Like, so you're just dancing around on TikTok. That's the attention you want. You know, that's negative attention. And I try to remind my daughter that, like, when, you know, there's, you know, if there's a popular girl and whatever, and I'm like, yeah, she's popular because she's showing off things. Is that why you want attention? You want that kind of attention? Like, that's negative attention. You want someone to like you for who you are. You know, it sounds corny, but it's so true. Who you are as a person, because you're smart, you know, your personality, your brain, not because you're showing off your assets. Mm-hmm. And TikTok is...
Trust me, when you find the right guy, they're going to, like, if you're actually attracting that personality, if you're attracting to that thing, I promise you, they are still going to be physically attracted to you. There's not very many guys I know that are not attracted to the fact that you wear something provocative. But if you're already giving all that away at the beginning, you know, like, you know, my wife's grandma, one thing she says is, why would somebody buy the cow if they get the milk for free?
Yeah.
Right. What's the point in buying a cow if I get the milk for free? Right. Yep. So making sure that you're, you know, and God forbid somebody be conservative nowadays. And I don't mean conservative politically. I mean conservative in the way they dress and the way that they act. Like, God forbid that be something that we do and that it be, you know, praised as it should be. But why give all of that away? But half the time, even like all these, like, and some men are going to hate me for saying this, but all these girls running around wearing yoga pants all the time, basically just showing exactly every curve, every feature they have, leaving nothing up to the imagination, you know, especially some of them now that go like straight up the butt. It's like, what in the world are we doing? Like, why is, and then, you know, and the first thing I go to, considering I have a Biz Dad podcast and I talk about being a dad all the time, it's like, okay, where is your dad? Like, how involved is your dad in your life right now?
Yeah.
And you kind of feel like, oh, how much of this do I want to say on a podcast that I want to keep friendly for you? I'm going to put a cursor here and say, hey, if your kid is listening, might not be the time to do it right now.
Yeah.
Maybe pause this, come back in a second. So my wife and I were at Dick's Sporting Goods, and my son goes into the bathroom. He's got to go number two. He's four, you know, at the time, just in there going to the bathroom. My wife sends me a message, Adam, come here. So I go over there, and there's a girl giving a guy a blowjob in the stall next to it, just going to, like, hearing my son talk, sitting there doing that. And, you know, so I go and I talk to the security, or I talk to the manager. They pull him out. I pull the two aside, and I was like, this is not in front of my kid. Like, this, I wish that I would have taken a little less emotion involved in that. But after I was just angry because this is happening right next to my child. And, you know, like, they're calling him out. My son is like, are they telling me to get out of the bathroom? Like, he's sitting on the toilet, has no idea. Thank God. Like, he has no idea what's going on.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm sitting here going, like, this is, like, unbelievable. And so I start going off on the two. And they're teenagers, right? This teenage girl, teenage boy. And afterwards, I thought to myself, this could have been an opportunity to figure out, like, had I not reacted so emotionally and just kind of been like, hey, why do you think that this is okay? What kind of society are we living in? And had that conversation. But she had zero self-respect in herself. Yeah. All he was doing was being a teenage boy and obviously didn't have a good example on what he should be chasing after. And I was like, man, I need to make sure that I am very involved in my daughter's life. And very, like, because, I mean, right now she's obviously 8 months old, but I need to know now that I need to be involved, and I need to know, like, that I've got a strong spouse. My partner is unbelievably strong in our relationship and our ability to talk, but I could not help but just think about how much of, she was more than likely lacking a father at home, whether they were married or not, like the family was married or parents were married or not, like the father was probably not there at all and involved. And it kind of broke my heart that I did not find a way to take that opportunity to have that conversation. But I don't remember where we were going on how I started with that, but like the importance of having those fathers and the importance of having those conversations and being involved and having that strong base, I cannot express enough how important it is.
That's so sad. So sad for both of them, you know, because they don't realize, you know, what they're throwing away and their innocence and everything. And, you know, I think what we were talking about is what they're wearing I think what girls don't realize is when you're wearing something provocative, you're getting attention, but you're wearing something sexy. So you're getting sexual attention.
Yeah.
And if you get upset later because all he wants is to have sex with you, well,
what do you know?
That's right. That was the attraction. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't do that and you get to know someone and have a conversation and connect at a different level, well, guess what? He's attracted to you because he likes you and he likes who you are and everything about you. And of course, he's a man, he's a boy, he's going to be sexually attracted to you too, because
regardless.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, but that's the secondary thing. You don't, if it's primarily a sexual thing, well, then that's all it is. So you can't be upset when he's using me for sex, quote unquote. You know, again, I know we're simplifying this and it's always more complicated, but you know, if you're looking for that type of attention, you're going to get that type of attention. Now, again, I'm not judging. You do what you want. If that's what you want, that's fine. But know that that's what you're getting. And if you're okay with that, then that's fine too. Not as a young girl, but as an adult, right? If you're a young girl, you shouldn't be doing that. But if you're an adult girl or man and you want that kind of attention and you get that kind of attention, know that's what you asked for and that's what you're getting. But don't complain afterwards and say, oh, why all I get is people who are using me? Well, you know, if you put that vibe out there, that's what you're going to get. If you get to know people, then you connect at a different level. You have a deeper connection. And now you have a solid relationship that, of course, is going to be very sexual and fun and all those other things. But it's a real relationship.
I just draw a blank on his name. I was thinking of it earlier. Oh, crap. A really famous comedian, Killing Him Softly was the tour I'm thinking of, and I cannot think of the guy's name right now. Oh, he had that TV show. Dang, damn it. it'll come to me in the middle of this, but I'm going to tell the story. And
Kevin James?
No. Black guy, super funny. He had the one comedy sketch where he had the cocaine all over himself, and he did the cocaine's a hell of a drug. And Dave Chappelle.
Yes,
dang, I knew. So Dave Chappelle is talking, and this is years ago on one of his comedy specials, and he was like, hey, you know, like girls will say like, hey, you know, just because I dress this way, it doesn't mean that you know I act these certain ways. And he's like, you're right. You're like, men, the woman is absolutely right. Just because she dresses that way doesn't mean she is that way.
Right.
And then he says, but you got to understand, women, that's kind of confusing. Like, you know, because to your point, like you're giving off this thing, you know, that would be like me in this problem. I go running down the street. I say, there's a police officer down there. Excuse me, Mr. Police Officer. I really need help. There's this person. Oh, just because I dress this way doesn't mean I'm a police officer, you know? It's like, how confusing that could be, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, he obviously says it a lot better because it's Dave Chappelle and he's the number one. Yeah. But I mean, it's you know, the vibe you're giving off is what people are going to see. Like, you just got to be aware of that.
And it's to your point, it's obviously if a woman dresses provocatively doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that she wants it, doesn't want it, whatever. That's a whole, not even going there. But the guy's thinking that. The guy, the attraction is, wow, look at that body. I mean,
we actually want our men to be physically attracted to women? Right. I'm pretty sure we do, because that's how all of us are here, is because a man was physically attracted to a woman. So, call me crazy, but I think we want that. We just don't want, you know, predators. So, Anyways, boy, we took a really couple weird turns that I wasn't expecting to take on this one. That's for sure. But here we are, hour and a half into this. Are there any topics that you want to hit on? Anything that we've brought up that you're like, hey, that's interesting, or any questions you have for me?
Yeah, you know, I think that you know, the point that I want to get across to dads, especially, you know, and I'm not saying I know it all. I'm just saying I have a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, and maybe there's some people listening who have younger ones who haven't learned. I learned through experience. But yeah, just, you know, make it a point. Be intentional. Make it a point to do things. Like I said, book that ski trip. You know, book that football game, baseball game, whatever it is, dinner, walks. Just do it, you know, because years go by and then you're like, what happened? And worse is they're not that they don't want to be with you, but the window closes. They're busy. They're off to college. They're in high school. They have friends. They have girlfriends, boyfriends, jobs, school. And now there's a little window. So again, just if you have younger kids, please be intentional about that. I think that was the, you know, the big point from a dad that I wanted to get across to maybe some of the folks with younger kids.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think even some of that stuff, you know, I think the last podcast was with, I'm drawing a blank on his name too, dagnabbit. But he had said on there, you know, the $1 billion father, $0 required, right? You could be a $1 billion father with $0. Like, you talk about going on a walk, like that doesn't cost any money, but it's invaluable. Like, you just, like just going on a walk, even if, like, taking a mini putting, it doesn't cost a ton of money, but you're just spending time with your kids, being involved, having good conversations, knowing that you're a shoulder for them to cry on, as well as, you know, a sounding board to bounce ideas off of, creating that space to be able to make that happen. And I think that's extremely valuable advice, and I love it.
And find out one thing. Finish your point.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to add to that is, and find out what they like. I'll give you an example. A few years back, you know, my son was into video games, and I remember going to a GoBundance event, and I'm sitting there, and you know, we go over our lives and our pillars, and one thing I was like, oh man, my son, all he wants to do is play video games, and I was complaining about that. Like, this was years ago, and someone turned to me and said, well, then play with him.
Yeah,
I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, play video games with him. Do you play video games with him? I'm like, no. He's like, play video games with him. Yeah, he's right. So this was like 4 or 5 years ago, and now I regularly play. I mean, I used to play video games when I was a kid. I didn't play for God knows at 30 years, and now I'm a gamer again. You know, I'm playing, you know, whatever he wants to play. I learn, and, you know, he kicks my butt until I learn, and then I start winning, and then he's like, yeah, let's play a different game, Dad. I'm like, all right, and then he kicks my butt again, and, you know. But again, he knows dad plays at night, dad plays on weekends, you know, whatever. Yep. But play video games. So just what do they like to do? What does your daughter like to do? What does your son like to do? And have a little fun. Watch a show. What show are they watching? I was like, how do I connect with my daughter? And I'm like, wait, what is she watching? And she's watching a show called Outer Banks. I'm like, I'm going to watch Outer Banks. All the kids are watching. I don't care. It's a teenage high school show. Let's go. Yeah. I'm watching Outer Banks. I'm watching Cobra Kai. You know, I'm watching all the shows that the kids are loving right now. We watch a show called Manifest together. I'm like, so that's how I connected with my daughter over my last few years, watching the shows that she wants to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I saw one day I saw she was watching. She started watching a new show. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get into that show. I'm like, hey, you want to watch this show? Yeah. So again, just finding ways to connect, movies, shows, walks, video games, whatever, movies in a movie theater, whatever the heck they want to do, just do it. Who cares? Just learn to love it.
There was somebody I was talking to that was like, hey, I used to try to avoid my kids watching certain shows, et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, well, now I've taken it as an opportunity. Like, this is what they want to watch. Let's sit down and enjoy it. But that's, you know, we can also use this as an example of, ooh, did you see what happened in there? And like, let's talk about the life lesson that we can have there. Let's not make it a preachy thing, but it's still a conversation we can have where we could take it. We were watching Home Alone. Kevin McAllister is a massive pain in the butt. I didn't realize how big of a pain in the butt he was when I watched this years ago, but now that I'm watching it in front of my kids, I'm like, okay, that kid's mouth is completely unacceptable, right? And so we use that as an opportunity of like, wow, did you see the way he talked to his mom? Woo, man, do you think that was a good idea? And then, oh, absolutely not, you know, so we get to have a conversation about what it is. You know, so I mean, I still struggle with the video game one because, like, I don't have any video games in the house. My son would really like to do that. But I know how much that I could probably, if I were to guess, get addicted to it. I probably wouldn't, you know, like, it would be the same thing. Like, I didn't drink alcohol for a while because I couldn't just drink one. I would have, like, seven. So it was like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Now I can have no problem just drinking one or two. So I'm hoping that I'm at the point in my life where I could just play, you know, an hour with my son and be done. But like, what a way to connect and be like, hey, like, let's build something together. Let's do something together. Let's have fun together. It's not just, you know, the same old, same old. But I think it's valid advice. What do they like? Chase after that. Yeah. Let them choose their own adventure and then go on it with them. So,
and to your point about the show, like, now I know my daughter's in high school and she's watching high school shows that all her high school friends are watching. Would you rather her watch it on her own or with you? She's going to watch it anyway.
With me. Yeah.
Right. And so, for instance, Outer Banks, I'm watching it. I'm like, they're like going to parties, drinking alcohol, hooking up, smoking joints. You know, I'm like, this is what the high school kids are watching. It blew my mind. So my first reaction was like, what? And then I was like, all right, calm down. I'm not going to have it. And then I started just like laughing, like, oh my God. She's going to, he or she is going to screw up their life. You know, like making little comments, but jokingly, not preachy, not what the hell are you watching? Yeah. What don't you watch it? They're going to watch it anyway on their phone or whatever. So they're going to watch it anyway. All the other kids are watching. So watch it with them and be able to, you know, make your comments about it. Like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that. Oh, you know, I hope she doesn't get pregnant. You know, you know what I mean? Like,
I remember Susie when I was in high school did the same stupid thing. Oh, man.
That reputation is going to last with her all through high school.
She still has that reputation. Good. Nice. Poor.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just at a, you know, high school reunion. We're still talking about stuff that happened in high school. Yeah. So, those are little ways to plant seeds, because if you're not there, they're watching it anyway. Unfortunately, that's what's on TV and that's what's on Netflix, and you're not going to stop it.
Yeah, it's as sad as it is. But all right. Well, thank you so very much, Anthony, for jumping on here. It was absolutely awesome to chat with you and get to know you a little bit more. We went off on a few different tangents than I was expecting, but that's the beautiful thing about these podcasts. I never know where they're going to go. You know, I would have never thought that I'd be talking about what goes on inside of a Dick's Sporting Goods bathroom in the middle of a podcast, but it fit. So, if people want to get a hold of you, maybe talk to you about the consulting you do or anything else, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I think there was a link in I had sent you, but you know,
it'll be in the show notes for sure.
Yep. Yeah, easy to find me. My name is pretty unique, I think. You could connect to me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on there, and I've been working with a lot of especially small medium sized businesses, helping them leadership management, helping them build teams, helping them with their technology, cybersecurity hurdles, you know, trying to migrate to the cloud. Oh, how do I get, you know, protected from all the cybersecurity crap going on? So that's been a lot of fun. That's basically between that and doing real estate. I do, you know, hard money lending. I do a lot of different things like that. So also, if anyone is interested in or need hard money lending, I'm been very active in that space. I'm here to help. Always here to have a conversation with anyone interested to talk about, you know, fatherhood or talk about investing or IT. Those are things that are fun. And actually management, I did a really fun podcast on management a few months ago, and that's definitely a topic I love talking about and love helping people with through those, you know, hurdles, because that's really... Yeah. Probably, as we all know, you can't have a successful business without having successful employees or a team. So.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I really love that a lot. I think that the team building side of the house, you know, is man, if you have the wrong team member on board, it can make your world a whole lot worse. So make sure that you're managing those teams well and running through. So please reach out to Anthony if you have anything in those in that realm. Thank you again so very much for jumping on. I appreciate it. Best of luck with the college endeavors as you try to navigate that. Please reach out to Anthony, everybody. Please like, subscribe, do all the things that you're supposed to do and I'm supposed to say at the end of these podcasts. Thank you so very much for listening, and we'll see everybody on the next show.
Thank you, Adam. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Biz Dad Podcast. We hope you found some value in your time here with us, and we look forward to bringing you the next episode. If you've enjoyed today's show, please subscribe and share so you and your friends won't miss our upcoming episodes. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Rumble, where we continue these discussions and share more valuable content. Be the dad you know you need to be and run your business in a way you're proud to share with your kids. Keep crushing it.